Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen. Can Be is a special place for many reasons, but one of them is that each Christmas we get to host, hands down, the best Santa Claus in the world. Because, you know, we have the real one. He's a busy man, but we managed to grab him for a quick interview. We'll ask him how he manages to stay jolly after more than 500 years on the job. And I get to go back to my roots and visit my very first recording studio, the Oregon Guitar Studio, owned by David Tuckmark. And we get to talk about a very cool concert series that David is putting on that will help bring guitar players from all over the world to our neck of the woods. But first, the news. Want to make a difference in 2019? Consider becoming a victim's advocate for the Clackamas County District Attorney's Office, where you can help victims of crimes in our area by providing crisis intervention and follow-up support. Advocates respond to hospitals and police stations, keep victims informed of their case status, accompany victims in court as needed, and support them in exercising their rights under Oregon law. Being the victim of a crime can be extremely traumatic, District Attorney John Folk says. Knowing you have someone on your side helping you along the way can make all the difference in the world in recovery for the victim. Advocates must be at least 18 years of age and have reliable transportation and no criminal background. Volunteer trainings will be held on Tuesday and Thursday evenings starting in February. Interested parties should contact Victim Assistance at 503-655-8616 or Victim Assistance at co.clackamas.org.us. Old Moe's Pizza has filed an application for a liquor license at 1017 Southwest 1st Avenue in the shopping center anchored by Safeway. The location was formerly the home of Cascade Pizza Co., which closed last year, much to the chagrin of every pizza lover in this town. Odd Moe's bills itself as gourmet pizza, wing, and craft beer company, with locations in McMinnville, Kaiser, Tannisbourne, and three in Salem. Old Moe's was founded in 1999 by Michael Sublett and Samuel Leboa, who still own and operate the small chain today. A 65-year-old Milwaukee man is in custody for allegedly hitting a man with his car more than once before fleeing the scene. According to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, Leslie Raymond Myers struck a man, Jason Schwartz, 39, from Portland, in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven in Happy Valley on the afternoon of December 30th. Meyer allegedly left the victim lying on the asphalt with serious injuries and fled the scene to a nearby Babies R Us on Southeast 82nd Avenue, where he was located and detained by police. Schwartz was transferred to OHSU for treatment, where he is expected to recover. Meyer has been charged with attempted murder, hit and run, and second-degree assault. He has a long criminal history, including a series of driving and alcohol-related infractions over the past several years. He remains in custody at the Clackamas County Jail. In sports this week, the Canby boys basketball team came up huge over the holiday break, claiming third place in the Canby tournament with a huge victory over Lake Ridge. The Cougars smashed their competition in the decisive third-placed game, 54-36. Super sophomores Chance Miller with 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists, and Diego Arnando, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 steals, led the way. The victory put a nice bow on two strong holiday tournament performances for the Cougs, in which they finished 3-2 to make their record 5-5 for the season. They'll hit the road on Friday to face McMinnville for their final non-league game before league play kicks off Tuesday versus Tigard. The girls had a tougher time with their tournament showings, losing both appearances in the Elite Eight at Tigard High School, dropping them to 4-5 overall. They'll have a chance to get back to .500 on Friday as they wrap up a non-league play at home against Beaverton. Catch the action starting at 7 p.m. Missouri.
Hi, Ray Keene here from the Canby Center. You are not alone. If you're having thoughts about ending your life, reach out to someone. Call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or call a local church such as Canby Christian Church at 503-266-4018. Canby Foursquare Church, 503-266-4444. Or Zora Lutheran Church, 503-266-4061. You know, people around you care even when you may not see it. You are not alone. Brought to you by the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force.
When Christmas Comes, a poem by Libby C. Bayer. Harry, when Christmas comes, my brother Fred and I are each to have a sled. So Papa says to all good boys, old Santa brings both books and toys when Christmas comes. Paul, I know my mother is too poor to buy us toys, but I am sure she'll have for us some nice warm caps, some mittens and some shoes perhaps when Christmas comes. James, I wrote old Santa Claus to bring to me a drum and everything, a train of cars to run by steam, and all of which I think and dream when Christmas comes. Willie, you greedy boy, you want it all. I only want a top and ball. I want what Santa Claus can spare when other boys have had their share when Christmas comes. James, I only wrote old Santa Claus to bring me all those things because I want to give away some toys to Paul and other widows' boys when Christmas comes. John, that's right, my chum, with fife and drum and singing tops we'll make things hum, divide our toys with other boys, and won't we make a sight of noise when Christmas comes. All, when Christmas comes to you and me, bid every selfish thought to flee. Unselfish hearts and deeds, and then peace on earth, goodwill to men, when Christmas comes.
Here with a very special guest. I think all of you know him. It is Santa Claus. How are you, Santa?
I am very fine. Good evening, and thank you very much for having me.
I see it looks like you're ready for vacation. We're after Christmas.
We are ready for vacation.
What does Santa do on the off season? You get a little bit of playtime before you have to start ramping up?
Yes, I do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you're headed down to Fiji or Hawaii, something like that?
Those two. Like, it depends on the moods of the reindeer.
How long? Because it's their off season too.
Yes, they're off season. So they get to go play as well.
Yeah, for sure. So Santa, you kind of have a reputation as being a jolly sort of fellow.
I hope so.
You know.
I try to be.
But does it ever get frustrating, especially nowadays, with all of these parents trying to claim credit for the gifts that you give? They say, oh, they're from them. Mm-hmm. You know, Santa's not real. How do you deal with that?
Do you believe in Christmas?
I do.
Okay. Do you believe in Santa Claus?
Of course. I'm sitting here talking to you.
Okay. That's all there is to it. I don't have to deal with the parents because the children know better. Mm-hmm. The children know better.
Yeah. So how are the reindeer?
The reindeer are fine. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Claus is back there right now taking care of them, making sure the elves are doing the things they have to do before she and I take off on our little jaunt and a little vacation. Mm-hmm. They get the run of the entire facility while we're gone. So.
Oh, okay. The elves do. You ever come back and they mess something up, or are they pretty well behaved?
They're not until about 2 days before we come back. Okay. Then they become well-behaved and very organized. They're as organized as they are the night before Christmas.
It's like one of those teen movies. They run around, they're cleaning up with the black trash bags, clean up the party.
That's it, do it all. Yeah. You know, sweeping things under the rug, out the windows.
Okay. They've got the reindeer like hanging out of the second-story window. Have you ever been on a podcast before? Or,
I haven't.
You've obviously done a lot of TV work.
Well, it comes with when I get spotted, you know, things of that nature.
Sure.
But never on a podcast before. I've never been asked any seriously personal questions about the cities that I go to and the people that I see.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody always wonders. And if I start talking about it sometimes, they think I'm just making this stuff up.
Right.
But you can't. Santa Claus can't make anything up
because
the things that happens with Santa Claus and to Santa Claus and because of Santa Claus are just totally amazing.
Would you like to be asked personal questions about cities that you go to? Canby is probably your favorite city out of all the cities.
Canby is my favorite city out of all of
them. That's what I would have guessed.
There's no other city in the world like Canby, Oregon.
I agree with that. I'm not Santa, but I would guess that that's true.
That is very true. That is very true.
Do you ever get tired, Santa? You've been doing this for a long time.
No, I never get tired because it is something that I do. Hmm. It's something that has to be done.
It's kind of who you are at this point.
It's who I am. It's what I do.
It'd be hard to find another job, probably.
I wouldn't want another job. Once you're Santa Claus, there is nothing else you want to be.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. The unemployment would probably be just astronomical.
What is that?
Benefits. All right. Well, we've got another segment coming up here. And parents, we would ask just for this next part, if you would have the children leave the room, go ahead and have them just go outside and play. Are they gone? Okay. So, your real name is Ed Grodzki.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been playing Santa?
Somewhere 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure.
How did you get into it?
I was asked by a friend of mine if I would fill in and do a couple of Santa gigs for her husband.
You were reluctant at first, I understand.
Yes, I was. It was, I was reluctant. I didn't want to be Santa Claus.
Why not?
Because I don't know why, but now that I am, it's a totally, entirely different story.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I look forward to.
Really?
And especially here in Canby, the growth that I've been able to see at the Light Up the Tree Parade, the parade in the evening, the festivities, the crowds have just grown over the years.
This year was crazy.
It was very crazy.
The line to see you was... very frustratingly long.
It's very frustratingly long, and I feel bad when I see people that just give up sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
You know, and so that's why I try to as available as I can.
We were behind the firefighters. There was like 40 of them. They just all like crowded around. We're like, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, this for the kid.
It's it true. Great. You know, the children, they wait so patiently all the time. You know, I have to... interact with them because, you know, they're getting, when all the festivities are going on, such as the choir singing and then lighting up the lights and things like that, these kids are getting a little antsy. They don't care about all the lights going on. They're looking at the man, and they want to talk to the man, make sure the man knows what's going on.
Right, right.
You know, so you have to interact
with them. You're the star.
I guess. But actually the kids are the stars. Mm. You know, just to be able to see them just shine.
Well, you were busy this Christmas. I think I personally saw you like 3 or 4 times at events, and I think you did quite a bit more than
My wife, Mrs. Claus, and I, we were very blessed this year. The amount of engagements that we have far exceeded anything that I had expected for this year, and I knew there'd be possibly a little bit more than last year, but I had no idea that it was going to blossom the way that it did.
Yeah.
It's
really snowballed.
Snowballed's a good word to use. That's a very good word
to use. Thank you.
Yes, and if things keep on snowballing like that, we can build a snowman. Anyway, the things I've seen, the children that I've seen, children growing up in this community. Mm. I've seen all the good that Canby has to offer. You see it all, everything, all the good that there is anywhere. Comes out at Christmas time anyway.
Christmas. Yeah.
But you know, if it weren't for the cold weather, you'd have a hard time distinguishing when was Christmas time and when wasn't, even Canby. It's just that type of a community, you know, and some place that we really enjoy, we enjoy living here. Mm-hmm. We enjoy everything that it has to offer. I mean, mm-hmm. we have the finest group of first responders.
Yeah.
I think that anybody can lay a claim to.
Yeah.
The fire department, Todd Gary, Jim Davis, and those guys over at the fire department.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. The police department. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys have a tough job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not about the best public access TV station and local news podcast.
Yes,
around.
It is. As a matter of fact, you hit that nail right on the head.
I've heard that many times.
I've heard that many times too. You've told me.
No, I have no personal opinion about either of those things. But
what about that other guy?
I have multiple identities as well, you do, Ed. So you had a lot of events, and you were talking before we started recording just about the way that the kids and the experiences that you've been able to have with them have just kind of make it all worth it. There are only so many people that know what it's like to be Santa, right?
You know, that's true. Being Santa Claus, you get to experience, I can't really find the right word for it. I think I can just give you the examples of mm-hmm, things. Mm-hmm. There was a woman over at Hope Village that mm-hmm. When I was over there, I was over there for 2 days. And
you got to talk to some seniors too then?
Children of all ages. Mm-hmm. The age range of the children I interacted with this year goes from 18 days,
wow,
to 104 years old.
Wow.
Now that.
That's crazy.
Wow, not creepy, that's just beautiful. The moments you get to have
such
with people.
Such a range, yeah.
You know, and with the seniors, with the larger, the large kids, the big kids, so to speak, the Alzheimer's patients, they're just wonderfully warm individuals. Mm-hmm. I had one experience where I'm very fortunate because when you're over there, they're calling out the individuals by name before they would come up to see me.
Okay.
And so I was able to call them all by name.
Yeah.
And there was one woman that came up and they put her in, she was in a wheelchair and they had her next to me and she didn't have it looked like something was bothering her, mm-hmm. something was on her mind. So I just grabbed her hands and I said hello to her and how I remember her as a little girl and how she's grown up into such a beautiful woman. Mm. And then I asked her, I said, do you remember the last time you sat on my lap? And she started to shake her head, yes. Mm. And the tears came out of her eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
Then tears,
what a moment.
Then the tears came out of my eyes. Mm-hmm. There are just too many moments. Some of the most wonderful children in the world live here in Canby.
Tell me a moment about the kids.
There's
an experience you had.
You tell me an experience over the range. I was doing.
Do you get a lot of kids tug on your beard?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I had a couple. The pictures I got this year was.
Yeah.
I got one picture with the kid just grabbed the beard and he had it there, but then he pulled it.
Right.
And he pulled it out, and that's the picture I would like to have seen, but they didn't quite get that one.
It's somewhere on Facebook. Out
I was.
There.
I was sitting.
It's not as impressive right now. You started growing it. You said in June or July.
Yeah, I let go in about June is when I let it go. The end of May.
It's
June.
Pretty impressive by Christmas time.
Well,
yeah.
It's also hot.
Yeah, and then you shave it immediately.
Immediately it shaves off, and I just start all over again.
Yeah.
You know, there was a question you just asked me that I was going to elaborate on a little bit, but it escaped me at the moment.
Well,
I'm really sorry.
I want to hear about maybe like a magical moment or a moment that you had with a kid that really has stuck with you.
There's a lot of them. Hmm. There is, because there. I mean, you can't nail it down to just one particular thing.
Yeah.
A variety of things happened. A few years back, I saw a little girl at the fairgrounds, and she was in a wheelchair,
yeah.
And she didn't look very happy. She mm-hmm. was just kind of mopey, and I noticed as I'm getting out of the fire truck, the wheels on her wheelchair, they were like rainbow spirals where they turn around, uh-huh. And I just looked at them, and I said, whoa, look at the wheels. Santa has never seen wheels like that on a wheelchair. And her eyes lit up, and all of a sudden, and she has my wife's, Mrs. Claus's, cell phone number because she likes to keep track. She's a little girl that has some health issues.
Yeah.
And but she's one of them. I had one boy, I was, when I was doing the Cuts Force party a few years back,
uh-huh.
there was this one boy that was standing right off to my left, and he was standing behind me. And I just, every once in a while, I turn around and look at him, and I say hi, and I'm talking with the other kids and giving out gifts. And he's just standing there with a big old smile on his face. Mm-hmm. Then pretty soon he goes, hey, hey. I said, yeah, what? He said, did you see the movie Santa Claus? I said, yeah, I saw it. He goes, yeah, you were in it.
You know, of course you saw it, yeah.
Yeah, things like that, you know. I mean, it's just the things that kids ask for. I try to remember how many kids ask me for books.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, even still.
Even still, I try to make a point of trying to remember the kids that asked for books.
Yeah.
Because
they're just trying to get enough to trade in for an iPad, I think.
I think that's what it is. You know? And, you know, and then with some of these,
does trade in value.
Some of these kids, I mean, there was this one boy, he insisted, I believe he was in the fourth grade, if I'm not mistaken. But he was telling me all about the Apple Watch that I was going to bring him.
Oh.
And all the different functions.
He's telling you what.
And I had no idea what this Apple Watch can do. I'm still finding out things that my iPhone can do, my iPhone 6.
So you're just smiling and nodding like, yes.
Yeah, sure, you know.
Yeah, I've got it all laid up for you, little Billy.
It's all there to it, you know, and yeah, when you get asked for...
Oh, that's funny because, it is always kind of the grandparents that the kids have to explain how to do the technology. Uh-huh. But, yeah, in this scenario, they think you're bringing it to them, so...
Mm-hmm. You know, and they you know, he was well-versed on the operations of an Apple phone,
sure.
too. You know, and they don't ask for the same things. You get the puppies and you get the horses and the various animals, which of course I can't bring pets because I just don't have room for them on the sleigh.
Right.
And with all those animals, how many potty stops would I have to make? I never get things done.
Yeah,
you know,
so yeah.
Leave the pets to the parents.
Right.
You know, and then there
it's not a Santa job.
People ask me now for iPads, you know, like we said, Apple Watches.
Do you have people that ask, especially, we live in a time that's pretty divisive. There's just like strife and stuff going on. And I know kids, they're not like following Fox News and stuff like that, but that's seeping. Well, maybe they are. But I'm just wondering if you start to hear more kids asking for peace or
world
things
peace.
Like that.
Yeah. That's it, world peace.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to get along. So some of the ones that I can remember off the top of my head.
That's got
to
be hard, huh?
I just wish everybody could get along.
Oh, gosh. That breaks your heart, yeah?
I want there to be world peace. I don't want there to be any more hungry people. These are children now. Mm-hmm. These aren't, you know, young adolescents.
Right.
These are kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They know the impact of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and... Sure. And like I said, the kids, what would you like for Christmas? What do you think I'm going to put under the tree for you this year? Well, it better be books.
Cute.
I know, and that resonates inside you somehow, you know,
yeah.
It stays there.
Well, I have to say, like I said, I saw you at a few events, and one reason I really want to talk to you, what stands out to me is that I do get the feeling you really love the kids, and I see that connection. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old,
uh-huh.
and my 2-year-old son is a little more Stranger Danger. He's in that phase.
Uh-huh.
He saw you twice. He saw you at Gwen's Coffee House mm-hmm. Light Up the Night. Gwen's, he was not having it. I had to like sit him next to you.
Ooh,
and the
yeah.
picture, he's like staring at the floor, like he's got this like 1,000-yard stare, like he's being punished. It's literally the face he makes when he's being punished.
Oh,
like
no.
He was just not having it. But then by Light Up the Night, that was, I think, the next weekend.
Yeah.
He, you talked to him, and you just, you know, he had seen you a couple times at that point, and he came right over to you.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen you do that with other kids, too. I just get that it's very genuine with you, and I appreciate that.
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
Santa
it's
Claus.
Just who you are.
Maybe, but Santa Claus
but
is Santa Claus, yes.
I think that people worry that it's, you know, that... Like, who is this? Who is the Santa kid? Because there's that magical, there's that magic, there's that connection.
Yep.
And there's, unfortunately, like, parents have to be aware of
mm-hmm.
people that might take advantage of stuff like that.
Definitely.
You
yes.
know, but just like I said, it's so real with you when it comes through. And that's just
you.
Awesome to see
you.
When you're not necessarily expecting it.
You know, and there's only one kind of Santa Claus, and that's the real Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You can't be a partial Santa Claus. One of the hardest things to do, and I take a great deal of pride being able to say it, is that during that parade, mm-hmm. I make eye contact with every one of those kids. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me how I do it, because there are so many of them there, right. But you can look at each one of them, you can tell what's looking at you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to look at each one of them. You have mm-hmm. to acknowledge each one of them somehow. Yeah. I mean, Christmas is magic. Mm-hmm. Santa Claus is part of the magic.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as I can help prolong that happiness and that magic, I will.
Mm. Well, this has been really fun. I think that's a great place to end, just that the Christmas is magic from somebody who definitely knows. So thank you so much, Ed/Santa.
Okay.
Thanks for talking with us.
Tyler, my pleasure, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And all the best to you for the new year as well.
There's no way that you could have known this by listening to our podcast, but in the previous interview with Frankie, Ed Grautsky was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. That's right, a Hawaiian shirt. Probably not how you pictured him, right? Say what you will about Santa Claus, but the man knows how to take a casual day. Now, if you have a great imagination, but you'd like to be spared the trouble of trying to imagine Santa with a Hawaiian shirt on, you can just watch this interview with video on the CTV Channel 5 or Canby Now podcast channels on YouTube or on the Public Access Channel 5.
So this is Tyler Clausen, not Tyler Frankie, out and about talking to people, and I'm in the coolest recording studio ever. It's like coming home almost.
It's my home.
Yeah, it is your home. I'm sitting with David Tutmark. I always get scared of saying your last name.
You always say it right. You're one of the few.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sitting here with David, who owns the Oregon Guitar Studio. And we've been friends for a while. And I used to record an old podcast here. And now I'm doing my own basement studio thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come talk to you because you're doing a lot of really cool stuff in the community, and I just wanted to get the word out on that. So why don't you introduce yourself? What do you do, David?
Well, yeah, my name is David Tutmark, and I'm a guitarist, a musician, guitar teacher. So I run Oregon Guitar Studio, which is mainly a guitar instruction business at my home studio in Wilsonville. I grew up in Canby. So that's kind of the Canby connection here.
Yeah.
And so I'm out here teaching guitar. I also have a small recording studio at the house. So do some audio recording as well. And
yeah.
I've recently started a new project, which is a guitar concert series.
Right. And I know a lot of this inspiration came from the fact that you've actually gone around the world to play a lot of your classical guitar.
Yeah.
What is that like?
Oh, it's been great. The past couple of years, I've had the opportunity to travel a lot of different places in the world, performing concerts on the classical guitar. I spent about a month in Europe this summer touring, mostly in Italy, a little bit in England also.
Yeah.
And then I also went to South America to tour in Chile.
Yeah.
I did a 10-concert tour down there on also classical guitar.
Right. Yeah. And that's so cool. You came back to the States after you'd done your Chile tour,
mm-hmm.
and you actually got a job as an instructor at CCC, right?
Right, yeah. I'm the adjunct professor for classical guitar at Clackamas Community College. Mm. Yeah.
So real quick, what made you get into classical guitar?
Well, when I went to college, I knew I wanted to study music, and I was already a guitar player, pretty much self-taught. Playing rock,
oh wow,
and electric guitar, and so I went to college and I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I want to do something I love here.
Sure.
Otherwise, I don't think I can do it.
Right.
So
right.
When you go to music school as a guitarist, it's either going to be jazz or classical.
Those are the two options.
Really, I mean, that's the traditional route.
Right.
So for me, I wasn't into jazz. So
yeah.
And I had never really heard classical guitar before, but as soon as I heard it, I thought, wow, this is incredible. Where has this been?
Right.
All my guitar playing life. So that's when I got into it.
That's so cool. So you went from deciding to do classical in college, and now you're teaching at CCC, teaching classical there.
Right. I mean, this is the same school where I started, so it's
kind of cool.
Fun to be back and working there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's get into a little bit what this concert series is all about, because you're taking a lot of inspiration from the travels that you've gone on and stuff. What does that look like?
Yeah, so in my travels, I ended up playing shows at a lot of these international guitar festivals, which are typically like multi-day, maybe some are even a week or month long festivals where...
Wow.
It's wild.
Crazy.
There's just lots of guitar concerts and workshops and competitions. They're pretty big events.
Competitions in classical guitar?
Yeah.
I'm imagining some guitar battle where you guys are like dueling with, not like
that
fighting,
that would probably be more fun, but yeah. So when I went to Italy, I was on the panel of judges for a couple of competitions, and it's kind of like, it's like The Voice or something, right? I mean, you know, there's three judges or four, and we're sitting there, and a player gets up and performs
right
10 or 15 minutes of music, and at the end, somebody's the best.
That's cool, though. Like you wouldn't think the exciting world of battling classical guitars is out there, but you're a part of it, man.
It's out there, you know, and I think usually it's a career builder for young guitarists.
Yeah.
If you win these competitions, it goes on your resume, and maybe there's a prize that includes a tour or a recording contract or various things.
That's awesome. That's super cool. And so what can we expect from, and I'm going to try and say it right.
Ooh.
The concert series is Siempre la Guitarra.
That's correct.
I got it right?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, in my travels, you know, playing these type of festivals, I got inspired to create my own here in Oregon.
Right.
And mine is titled Siempre la Guitarra, which translates to forever the guitar, always the guitar.
Mm, okay.
Which is kind of, you know, that's sort of just me looking at my life and what's always been there.
Yeah.
And what will always be there for me, which is playing the guitar.
Right.
So this is basically a concert series. Where I'm going to have it coincides with the college, so they're a big sponsor of it.
Yeah, and is it at the college?
Yeah, we have two venues. One is at Clackamas Community College.
Okay,
and the other is a small urban winery up in Vancouver.
What?
Yeah,
that's super cool.
Yeah, it's a spot where I actually play up there every couple months, and
we're
good friends. So I asked them if they wanted to be a part of it, and they were excited. So
yeah.
So each school term or each season will have two shows, one at the college and one at this winery.
Yeah.
And so it's essentially four concerts a year, but each concert has two dates, you know.
Okay.
So
okay. And so do we get the chance to see you play, or is it multiple people play? Is it always a changing cast but lineup of people?
It'll be a new lineup every season, every year. I played the very first event in September.
Oh, okay.
I had my friend Alberto Completo from Chile come up and play, and I also joined him just to kind of kick it off.
Sure.
I'll play it occasionally, but the main thing is to bring artists in from all over the world.
So it's not, I mean, it's always a good idea to feed into local artists and whatnot, but this is also a chance to really see the world of classical guitar coming to us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is... Part of it is cultural exchange, right? So I'm going to be bringing artists from Peru, Mexico, Chile, Italy, everywhere in the world. I'm trying to bring artists
from
there.
Into Cambie,
Oregon
City
to the Northwest. You know, Oregon City, Portland, Vancouver, basically Northwest, and it's not entirely about that. I mean, I do want to provide opportunities for local players and regional players as well.
Yeah,
you know, so because sometimes those guys don't get the opportunities around here to play that they need.
Sure. To get experience, to get recognition.
Yeah.
All of that. And that's great. I think it's super cool that you're providing that. What are the dates for the next upcoming show?
So the next shows are January 11th and 12th.
Okay. And so coming up real soon.
Yeah. We're getting towards them. And so January 11th is Cameron O'Connor at CCC.
Okay.
And he's the professor of guitar at OSU.
Oh, wow.
He just graduated from Juilliard, which is a very prestigious school of music. And
I'm surprised you even said that without an English accent. Juilliard. That's how I have to say it.
I'll leave it to you because, I mean, I'm not so good with the accents, you know. But so Cameron's going to play on the 11th. And then the following day, he's going to join up with Berto Boyd, who is a local flamenco guitarist.
Ooh.
And they're going to play a shared concert in Vancouver.
Up at the winery.
Yeah, at the winery. Yeah. Urban. It's called Burnt Bridge Cellars.
Okay. There.
And yeah, Berto is actually the cousin of Brandon Boyd from Incubus. If some of you guys would remember Incubus. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so there's a little connection there. But and that's going to be a fun show because the styles will be so different. You know, Cameron is going to be playing mostly, you know, traditional classical pieces, and Berto is very into flamenco, which is much different.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. So any more information that you can give to our listeners about how they can get there, what they need to know?
Well, you can check out the website, siemprelaguitarra.com. We'll have a link on the
Definitely
post,
will.
I'm sure. It's kind of hard to spell. And
they can spell that out. That's an easy one.
Totally. And, you know, there's also going to be some educational opportunities with this series. If there's guitarists that want to take classes with the visiting artists, that's available.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's so cool, man. Well, David, thanks for letting me come and hang out in my old podcasting studio, or as you like to call it, your living room. And I definitely can't wait for these shows to come up, and hopefully we can get some of our listeners to go check it out.
Cool.
And maybe they can let us know what they thought afterwards. That'd be super cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank you so much, David.
Thanks, Tyler.
If you didn't guess it by now, the guitar being played for the intro and outro to this segment was actually David himself. We hope you'll enjoy the rest of this quick song, and remember to check out his concert series, Siempre La Guitarra, and look for more information at his website, siemprelaguitarra.com.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, Ed Grodzki. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes. There's a guy in charge of Idaho Fish and Game, Ed Shearver. You may not know him, but he grew up right here in Canby. Frankie's going to talk to him, and he's going to tell us all about his passion for our country's natural heritage and resources, and playing and exploring in the woods and waterways around town. If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow, or on our website, CanBeNowPod.com.